world sooner or later becomes guilty because everybody realizes they're not perfect. Everybody realizes, I want happiness all the time. I want to eat all the time. I want to be entertained all the time. I want everything for me. And they express that in an obvious way. So everybody has sinned. There's never been a person in the whole world that has not fallen under sin. Of course, the Bible tells us that. But even the natural world knows that. And if you don't break that sinful side, not the smiling and the happiness, but if you don't, so they know good is good. When they're treated well and they're loved and so on, they understand that good is good. But they also know that they do bad. And often little kids will say, well, the angel on this side said, do that bad thing. But the angel on this side did, don't. But I did. You know, and little kids, they got it down. I mean, they got that thing down. Is there's right and there's wrong. There's right and there's wrong. And they know when you spank them, that is wrong. You know, even if I deserved it, I don't like that. And I hate you now. So little kids are very keen at picking that up. And if you drive too fast or something and you told them, you know, you only go 55 or whatever the speed limit is, and you never speed. Dad! Dad! You're speeding. I remember David used to catch me on that. Dad! Dad! That's wrong. So, you know, yeah, you can't say, no, it's okay. You got to agree with him. You're right. You're right. Okay, I'll slow down. Dad, you're doing it again! So little kids are so keen on right and wrong. They know exactly what good and evil is. Now, why does the Bible then say, of all mankind, don't eat of the tree of good and evil? Don't eat of the tree of good and evil. He calls that, they don't just call it a tree. They call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when we sin, we have done something insane. We have done something to violate the law written in every man's heart. They know there's good, and they've even done it at times, and they know there's bad. But the Bible says that's a sin, not to everybody. I mean, they're just doing what they're doing. But to Jewish people and to Christian people who are listening to God's revelation, it's a sin for them to eat of that tree. So all mankind knows you should not lean to your own understanding. You should not just do something on your own. You are dependent on God. You are helpless totally to know right and wrong. So everybody knows this. Everybody. You could teach this because everybody understands universal truth. And everybody has a knowledge problem is, what is God like? Does he hate me when I sin? Or does he love me? Am I to be rejected because I've done wrong? Did I break man's law? Did I break God's law? Did I break the civil law? What law have I broken? But every parent then who is a good parent, they teach children, you know, don't do that. That is forbidden. Now, when God said it, he said this, the day you eat of it, you will die. He did not say, as I've taught you, the day you eat of it, I'll kill you. He didn't say that. God has never, ever, ever been angry that men sin. Now, I'm going to say that again because I want you to understand something that you maybe haven't thought about, is that God's never been offended, nor has he been offensive. God is good all the time. So he doesn't need to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He is good. And he's the only one, according to the Bible, that is good. And then Jesus even taught us, saying, no one else is good but one, even God. No one else is good, the King James says, but God. But it doesn't say that in the Greek. It actually says, no one else is good, not even one. No one but God. Only God. So if only God is good, then how could you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and know what's good? and know what's evil. And yet everybody thinks we have to know what's good and evil. And you do know what's good and evil, and yet you don't know. How many know you know, but you don't know? And so everybody who knows there's a good angel here and a bad angel over here or whatever, they all know that I wasn't perfect. I'm guilty. I may not feel guilty, but I am guilty. Now, you don't have to feel it to know it. It's so deep and terrorizing that inside, when you violate the law written on your heart by the very finger of God at conception, you're already then learning that you must do what's right. You must not do. The Bible uses the word eschew, E-S-C-H-E-W. You must eschew evil. Don't do it. And so everybody knows that. Everybody. So what we teach is not, if you're a Christian, then you can keep the natural law. Or you can keep the moral law. In fact, being a Christian is better than being a Buddhist or a Hindu because you can be more moral. It's the best way to become a Christian so that you can then use that as a means to another end, which is to be moral, a nice person. And so many Christians then follow that pattern. And so, therefore, this pattern of not sinning is a big deal to the world. And that's why the criminal law is don't commit a crime. So sinners are everybody. Everybody is a sinner. Everybody has sinned. And there's nobody in the world that thinks I'm perfect. And yet, because of religion and morals, people want to be hypocrites saying, see those little fig leaves on there, those green fig leaves? They want to say, I'm not naked because even though I did a wrong thing, I still want to do the right thing. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my very, very best to do what God wants. So if that was all there was to the Bible, that don't eat of the tree, we would have failed. And we would actually be heading for sin and death. The minute you sin, you die. The minute you sin, you die. Well, Adam and Eve found out they did sin and they didn't die. But they did die. But they didn't die. They knew they didn't die because they were there. And God even walked into the garden in the cool of the day. And he wanted to know, how are we doing today? Let's give an account. And Adam started out with a big lie. I didn't do anything wrong. The woman you gave me, she did something wrong. You shouldn't have given her to me. Your fault. I'm innocent. She's guilty. And I'm not really guilty. I could explain it. Is you gave her to me. I have to put the ultimate blame on you. I have to. Because you shouldn't have put her in my life. If it hadn't been for that woman, I would be a saint. I would be okay. But that woman kept needling me. She had that apple thing there, and so on and so forth. So he goes to the woman and says, okay, thank you, Adam. That was a very, very nice defense system you set up there. That the woman is the guilty one. How many know that's always true? It's always the case. The woman is always, it would never be Chad. No. Chad's innocent. It's the woman. Doesn't she sometimes irritate you and, you know, kind of pick at you? Big expectations. Yeah, don't agree. Yeah, right. This is Mother's Day. Don't agree. So mothers are usually the one that raise the kids. I mean, the dads don't do a lot for quite a while. You know, they wait till they get bigger or something, you know, but they hold them once in a while and then they poop or something and they hand them back and they don't want that. So dads are not too handy. And besides, dads aren't equipped actually to feed and nourish that child, right? So little babies, even in the womb, have 9 months listening to mother and being, they're kind of bonded to the mom. And then when they come out, they realize right away, dad is not equipped. I need mom. She's equipped just right. And so they become very close to their mothers. Boy, girl, doesn't make any difference. They become tight to their moms because they realize she's the one giving all the benefits. You know, the dad's okay, it's good, I recognize you. But So dads have an easy go on this birthing and bearing children and so on. Dads have it easy. I was just waiting for the little one to get bigger so you could talk to it and have a reasonable conversation and tell it what to do and not to do and so on. So God provided mothers that are irreplaceable. I know today everybody wants to make them the same and you can change even. And oh, I think I'll be a girl today. I think I'll be a guy today and so on and so forth. So the latest fad, the latest way to say God doesn't know what he's talking about. That he made me this way, yes, but I don't think I was really born this way. I was born to be a girl. I was born to be a guy, you know, whatever. So it's kind of like it's up to man to decide. So you broke a natural law. Because what's written on your heart, whether you like it or not, God wrote his law on everybody. Everybody has the same law. And it is the law of nature, which is immutable. You cannot change it. Immutable means it can't be mutated or it can't be adapted or modified or in any way amended. It's what it is forever. Now, everybody hates that law who's born of woman, who's born of Eve. Everybody hates that law because sooner or later your parent tells you, you cannot do that. You will not wear that red shirt that's ripped to church. You're going to church now, God's house. And God hates that red shirt. And it's ripped open. And those holes in your little slacks like that, some of the other kids are doing. You don't do what other kids are doing. This is God. Now, those kids love Jesus because of that. Because it's great to go there because you have to behave for a few minutes. But little kids will rebel. I don't care what you do. They're going to rebel. Sooner or later, they're going to say no. And I love that when little kids do that because they're a person. They're becoming a real person. You know, they've been waiting to say that word ever since they first heard you say it to them. No. Ooh, that is a strong word. I don't have that word. I have milk and mama. I didn't have that word. I want that word. And they know just how to say it. You know, they don't just say it no. They say it in a very defiant, rebellious way. I love it. And all little kids do it. There's no way you can have a child that doesn't do it. No little child says, you go to bed right now. Okay, mother, I'd love to. Nobody. They don't say that. Why? Why? Why do I have to go? And they're going to rebel. They're going to be a person. We call that a person because now they can say good and evil. They can do both. They make their own choices at little kid age. You would think they would at least last till 16 or 18 or something, but they don't. They don't. Right away, they assert themselves and they express their flesh. You don't talk back to your mother. And they're just kind of like they want to, and they may obey right there because you kind of threatened them. They feel the force of that law, that you won't feed me from now on, or you're going to beat me, or what? They don't know. They're not sure, especially the first few times. But after a while, they catch on, and they wait till they're older, maybe 12, 13, and they begin to do exactly the opposite of what they've been taught all along. And they watch exactly the wrong program that you said not to watch. And they're just going to rebel sooner or later when you're not looking. Maybe they obey at home because they're afraid of the force that's behind the law. The law itself just tells me what to do, not yes. Yes, no. But when the force is there, then that kind of worries me. So everybody has guilt. Everybody. And the whole purpose of life then is how to reduce the guilt that I have from not being perfect. Because I didn't please my parents, I didn't please myself, I didn't please my friends, I didn't please everybody. As a matter of fact, I'm a failure when it comes to human relationships. And I hate Ann and Bob, but I love this person here. This is my friend. And so little kids learn right away how to go with the ones that like them and then get rid of the ones that don't. She's not coming to the party. Not going to come to my party. I don't want her. You have to. I don't. That's your sister. Oh, you need to, she needs to come. Yeah. But she always does, you know, whatever. And so little kids, if you leave them alone, I mean, if they're at the table, they probably behave pretty well. But if you leave them alone, they will assert themselves in ways that are very lawless. Lawless. Anomia. Anomia. The a in front means against or not. A negative to the word nomos, which is law. So everybody is lawless. Everybody. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
And you learn it real early. You don't have to even teach it to a child. Here's how you be lawless. Nope, they know exactly how to do it. You tell them what's right, and they will do what's not right sooner or later. So, everybody agreed so far?
Amen.
This is all in the Bible, and that's why God says, the day you eat of it, you will die. In other words, not die like physical. Die like this. That what God created you for was to do good and not to do evil. You died because you violated the natural law written upon your heart. And everybody, you cannot erase that. You can't get rid of it. You can't do it. You can never be perfect under that law. And sooner or later, you're going to disobey the law. Amen? Now, we decide very differently. We say there's two kinds of people in the world, good and bad. Good and evil. But you don't know what good and evil is. Remember, the Bible said, don't eat of that tree. Because you don't know what good and evil is. The good guy can actually be the bad guy, and the bad guy can actually be gooder than you thought. You can't tell by people's behavior what they really are. Only God can judge the heart. Only God. Only God. You will never know even your own heart. You don't even know your own heart, let alone someone else's. And you can only judge by appearance. You can only judge, not with right judgment, but only by appearance, as to, well, they did that, so I hate them. Or I did that, so I love them. Or they were nice to me, so I want to be their friend. Okay, it's very superficial. Because it doesn't quiet your heart. Your heart knows, because there's something written on there that says you're supposed to do good, you're not supposed to do evil. And you know when you don't do that. So everybody's guilty. Everybody doesn't feel guilty. Oh, a whole bunch of people don't feel good, but they are. And they know it, but they don't feel it because they blunted it. That's called blunting your conscience. So even though the conscience is beep, 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 you know you're out of gas, or you know that something's wrong, that there's a tilt somehow, something is wrong. And that little voice, but you can blur it, you can blunt it, you can make so you don't hear it anymore. By repeatedly defying it, pretty soon it's just beep, beep, and then pretty soon it's you can't even hear it because your conscience has been so destroyed. I tell you, it's amazing how this world is so lawless. And every once in a while it becomes obvious. Like, take, for example, the election coming up. It just becomes obvious that people become very vicious when they're about to get something and then could lose it. And they just begin saying anything to win because they're just so eager to get, you know, approval and power and ambition and pride. Does anybody notice that about people? So here's the problem is you need to repent. You need to repent of all that. And on here is several things when you have the dollar bill pyramid thing that never gets finished, you know, perfecting mankind. That never, ever finishes. The other thing you have is a law here that makes sin exceedingly sinful because the pyramid people, they know there's a sin, but if you just do what the Pharaoh says, you'll be okay. If you do what the king says, if you do what your pastor says, if you do what the Pope says, if you do what somebody tells you to do, you're okay. But then you read the Ten Commandments and you hear that voice speaking to you, and that is the knowledge of God there. This voice here is not the knowledge of God. That was the knowledge of nature that you violated. And somebody then made a pyramid as though it looks like we're behaving. So you could either be moral or immoral. It doesn't matter. But it's up to you. It's up to you. And if you don't do it, then the top guy will, that seeing eye will get you. That evil eye will, it'll get on you and then make you do what's right. And so the Pharaoh was always the powerful force inside the community to make all crops grow and all women have babies and so on. So everybody respected that person. Pastors used to be like that. They used to be honored and respected. Now they don't get any, but, you know, I wished I'd been born in the 15th century or something else when, you know, you were respected in the community. But now, you know, not even respected at home, you know. I see why the Catholics said no marriage, you know, because at least you could fake yourself and be awesome in your own sight. So now we've gotten so lawless, our whole society is lawless. But this other commandment here, this table, two tables there, four laws for God and six laws for man, you know, here's your faith over here and here's your thing. Only it isn't faith. This is the faith up here, this cross. That's the faith. You believe that God will keep his promise. He'll forgive you for all your sins. But over here, you have to do all these four. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It's all knots. Everything is a knot. Don't do it or else. That kind of like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's so severe that everybody's going to have idols, you know, something other than God that they listen to or, you know, they try to please people. Have anybody ever tried to please a people? You tried to please your mother, your father, your pastor, your best friend, you know, whatever. It doesn't work. I don't know if you've ever discovered that. They're never pleased. I don't care how much you've done. They still want more. And they want you to keep it up all the time. It's kind of a burden. It's kind of a pain to, you know, never happy, never satisfied. Gee, I did something good the other day and you didn't even thank me. You didn't even give me the reward I needed, right? So this little pyramid thing didn't work too hot, and that's why it never got finished. But there's the evil eye of God up there, or somebody that evil eye of Pharaoh, or you know, some president, or some big shot, or a pope, or somebody. But down here, you got these laws here that you better love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and then you better love your neighbor as yourself equally. Just the same way you love yourself, love your neighbor. How many know that's never been done? Neither of these deals work. So the only repentance is here. I'll have to run to God to make sure that what God wants, I can't do. He wants me not to be a sinner, but I wanna. He wants me to be righteous under my own steam, my own wisdom, my own knowledge, my own feelings and stuff. But I can't do that either. So neither of those are very good laws. The one, behave yourself. The other, do this and don't do that. And so on. I can't do that one either. So people are content with trying their best, and they're not good at believing that God, let's make this the final. This will be where we're heading. This is what you should be when you grow up, to be like Christ in every way. So we'll just put this bridal throne here. Right. You may not make it. You fell short. All right. So, and then God has another program here where you actually are a lover. You're actually a lover of everybody. And you do what pleases God and you do what pleases man. And then if you do that, you'd have to die to yourself first. And then in order to do that, you'd have to be born. So, in order to be born, then, you need to be a believer. So we call that faith. So this faith is a spiritual chair, not natural at all. It has nothing to do with nature. It has nothing to do with Jewish law. So you can be righteous before God naturally. That's for all mankind. Nobody ever did it. You can be righteous by the Jewish law and try your best to keep it. Nobody ever made it. So nobody's perfected by either of those. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. Under the law, nothing's made perfect. The only way you could make it under a law is to have some bloodshed. Maybe from an animal or maybe give up, you know, chocolate for a week or something. You have to do something to make an offering, a sacrifice, an atonement, to try to stay right with God because we think God is angry that we sinned. Remember he said, don't sin. But we did. Remember, he said, don't be self-righteous, but we did. We are self-righteous. We're proud. You know, if you do it by faith, you can't be proud. Because if it's by faith, you're trusting in Jesus to be your righteousness, well, then where's my part? I want a little pride. I want to help out a little bit. At least I want to cooperate with God. I want to do something to get some credit to me. But God doesn't want that. He wants to just give you a free gift. Free. And it's only if you're a sinner. You have to be either a one or a two. Now, what God wants is for us to realize that He's never wanted you to be holy. Ever. I'm going to say it differently. He never wanted you to be holy in your own power, strength, apart from Him. So He always wanted a relationship, 4, 5, 6. He always wanted a relationship, not a performance. Because some people are expressing their flesh and others are suppressing their flesh. For example, my car is outside right now. And if somebody walks by out there and they start taking my hubcaps, I want them to suppress their flesh and not take those hubcaps. Because it's a big inconvenience and I want to kill them. That's just it. It's just, I don't know. It just comes up that you violated me somehow. I don't know why. I know that. You violated me. And so I don't want people to express their flesh, chair one. And I do want them to suppress their flesh, chair two. But I do know that that's not what God wants. So in the law, it's a sin to be number one. But they think it's good to be number two. So everybody thinks Christianity is just the best way to get the chair two. Because now you're moral. Now you're nice. Now you're kind. Now you behave. And so most people in church, for example, always behave when they're in church. As soon as they get to the parking lot, it's a totally different thing. We've got microphones out there and we've recorded some of the conversations that have taken place out in the car. And you know, it's one thing to hear a sermon on love. It's another thing to love after you walk out. You know, it's another thing to say, you kids behave. And so a lot of kids get the idea that church is where you're supposed to behave. And so, it's, you know, I don't want to. I want to play. I want to go to the playground. Why don't we just play all the time? Got friends there. And that's a lot of reason why people come to church, because it's a place to meet people and be on a friendly basis. But if there's rules and if there's laws, then you know, I'm never going to be perfect. And the whole world has been after that without God. The French Revolution was all about, let's perfect mankind. And then they put up the Goddess of Reason, went through the streets of Paris and said, this is your God. We don't need the God of the Pope. We don't need the God of Jesus Christ. We need reason. We just need natural reason. Man on his own can make his own decisions, and he is good. He is not bad. And if he is bad, we can punish him and force him to become better. We can improve him, maybe even perfect him. Well, there's the illusion of the modern world. That you can do anything without God. That you can do anything without God. Whether you can improve yourself or whether you can perfect yourself, at least you can do something better than just expressing your flesh or suppressing your flesh. Not so. Not so. You can suppress your flesh, but it won't get you to heaven. So the spiritual man is 4, 5, and 6. This is a whole new creation. Not natural. Not cultural. A whole new culture that grows out of a whole new birth. Chair number 4, new birth. Chair number 5, new soul. Need to die to your old soul, to your old flesh. And chair number 6, new body, new behavior. All of that is a promise by God. None of that is a law. None of that is a law. It is a law, but it's a spiritual law of life. Life, life, l'chaim. That kind of life for a Jewish person is to break away from the Mosaic law, chair 2. Break away from that law. Because that law restrains me. I don't know if you've ever read the Old Testament. Most people don't like to read it if you're a Christian, because we're free of that. But that law is actually restricting and restraining and governing and controlling people so that they can't do this on Thursday and they have to do this on Friday and they have to not do that. And, you know, you have to wait this many days. And there's just so many rules and regulations on diet, on marriage, on everything. Everything is a law. Everything is a law. And so Jewish people try very much to keep that law. And so some go to the wall every day, the Western Wall, and they're there. And they're just going to, you know, try to, you know, pray for shalom, for peace on earth or something good. And that way they're acceptable to God. Because they've made a sacrifice. They've made an offering. They've made an atonement. They are taking an offensive God, a God who's offended at what they've done, and they're assuaging his guilt. They're mitigating his anger toward them. They don't want to do wrong. They're trying to do their best. But man at his best state is altogether nothing. Nothing. Vanity is like a bubble that a child catches in his hand. And the minute you catch it, it bursts. Oh, but it looks real. It looks so real. But then all of a sudden it's gone. So you try to catch it. Little kids will run around. Oh, here's one. And they all break. Every one of them that they get a hold of, it breaks as soon as it touches them. So if you're trying to behave yourself to get to heaven under a law, you're going to fail. You will not make it to Father's house. There's no way to get to Father's house. There's no way you're going to be the bride of the bridegroom when he comes back to set up the kingdom of God. So right now, the kingdom of God is being built, and you're the building that he's building. It's your faith, then your faith, and then your faith. Or his glory, his glory, his glory. Or his promise, his promise, his promise. All of those are all part of the live by every word, not eat of that tree over there. Because under that tree over there, you'll never make it. Now, all of this is just kind of like an intro to Galatians chapter 3, which starts out with the foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh. And then this word for foolish is a word that means this. It's not just foolish. It means you're out of your mind. Your mind wants to eat the tree. And now you have done something wrong. You're insane. You're not in your right mind. You are not thinking right. What does he mean? Well, you know, don't eat of the tree. But what you don't know is, what does God want? Does he want you to eat of that tree or not? What is the knowledge of God? The true knowledge of God. 4, 5, and 6. It's never been 1 and 2. He's never wanted that. He never wanted man to sin, and he never wanted man to sin. In other words, he didn't want you to misbehave or to behave. He wanted nothing, no labor. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. Not come unto Buddha, or not even come unto God. You can't get to God except through me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, you're trying very hard to keep the law in chair 2. That is not Christianity. Christianity does not want you to behave. I want to say it again because you've never heard this. Christianity does not want you to behave. It's a complete waste. It wants you to die. Larry shared it this morning, that God didn't want him to stop sinning and start doing right things. He wanted him to die. Well, that's not what I thought Christianity was. Why should I die? Oh, because to have faith that Jesus is your only righteousness is death to your flesh. Then what good is it to do chair 2? What good is it for Cain to not kill his brother? Whether I kill him or don't kill him. If God's going to get me, I'm finished. And God said, no, I'm not after you. I didn't want you to sin, kill your brother, chair 1. Nor did I want you to stop killing your brother, chair 2. I didn't want you to do either of those. I wanted to do everything for you. 4, 5, and 6. 4, 5, and 6. Now, this is so hard to get a hold of because your mind is foolish. You are thinking irrationally. The true knowledge of God is not 1, nor 2, nor even 3, if by 3 you mean I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my thinking. You can't change your mind or your thinking without being born again. So the only way to get rid of these two is to be born again. So that's why this chair points back toward those two and forward toward this one. The hardest one over there is the Jewish law, because God actually revealed it and it's perfect. Whereas the natural law, even though it's perfect, you can't know it. I never know what I know, that there's good and evil, and I shouldn't do evil. But yet I'm not sure in any given instance what good and evil is. Why? Because you can't know good and evil. So even though I know good and evil, I don't really know good and evil. Because in a given situation, I'm not sure what's good and what's not good. And I think I did the right thing, but I'm not sure. Because what God thinks of as good and what God thinks of as evil is totally different things. The only thing that's good is to know God, the true and living God. But the only way you can do that is not through a law, whether it's the natural law or the revealed law or the civil law or any law. You cannot ever please God through keeping a law, because he wants you to be perfect. Well, I can't. There's no way I can do it. God, I'm so frustrated. I can't do it. I've tried my best and it's not working. Well, that's exactly what you should learn from that. But here, it's a free gift. This one is a free gift, free gift, free gift. So God wants you to be born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. That's for a new heart. That's for a new soul. That's for a new body. And we could go on and on. So this threefold process is God's atonement, not yours. The other is you at your best, man in his best state, number two, hypocrite. The best man can ever achieve in this world is to deceive yourself that I could be good, or I know how to be good, or I know what good is. You don't know any of those. You don't know anything. You know nothing. If you think that, you know, and a Buddhist thinks that, a Mohammedan thinks that, chop your head off, that's a good thing. And, not only do I go to heaven for that and get the 70 virgins and all the beer I can drink, not only is that a good thing, but my family also can be blessed by that. So when I lose my life, I've done a good thing. I submit it to Allah and he accepted it. Well, Allah is a false God. He's false. Why? Because your happiness depends upon you behaving. That's why it's false. It's not false because it doesn't make sense, because they don't care about making sense. They just do what Allah said, because then you get the reward. But God doesn't want anyone to do anything other than what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. In fact, 6,000 years ago, before there was a world, before the world began, God was already in Christ, prepared for the day when he'd be revealed 4,000 years later. Amen. And when he was revealed, that was the Lamb that God provided for an atonement, for a sacrifice, for an offering, a burnt offering. And remember, he said to Isaac when he was about to sacrifice his son, make a sacrifice for God, he said to his son, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And he said, God himself will provide the lamb. It's exactly 4, 5, and 6. That's why Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. He saw this day 2,000 years later. He saw it then in that hour. It wasn't the ram in the bush. It was Jesus on the cross, snared, caught, couldn't move. Finished. Oh, that was for you. That was good news. So this good news here is that a spiritual man is not a natural man or a cultural man. Natural being the first one, that all are sinners, and cultural being, but they can behave. Not true. Man has never behaved. There has been no change in humanity. There's no such thing as cavemen and all that kind of nonsense. There are no cavemen, by the way. There aren't any cavemen. Caveman is just somebody who lives in Burleson. It just means you don't live in the big city. You live out in a cave during the summer, or you live in a cave year-round because you can't, you know, afford the taxes in the city. You know, that's it. Sorry about Burleson. Maybe loving Texas. So God doesn't want, there's never been a time when Adam and Eve weren't cave people. Adam and Eve They were real people, just like us. There is no such thing as Cro-Magnon man and, you know, Java man and all that kind of nonsense. This is all made up stuff. Sorry. But there's only people. And we've always been the same, and we still are the same. We're just like Adam. We're just like Eve. We're just like Cain, Abel, etc., etc., etc. So you cannot look at mankind as saying, oh, those were golden days. There are no golden days. There's no golden age. There's only history, and it's the same as today. Everything that was, is. And everything that is, was. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nothing. Man is still doing these seven things right here. Only most men only do chair one, so that's the largest group. Chair two, the behavior type people, they are you know, they're always trying to, you know, improve the lot of people without God, but it won't work. You have to have God. But not just any God. No, it has to be the true and living God, which here is the true knowledge, 4, 5, 6. God will provide the lamb. That's the true God. God has made a promise. He has sworn an oath to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, etc., etc., etc. And then Jesus fulfilled that on the cross with his blood. That's what forgives our sin, chair 5, 4. Then in chair 5, he baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is kill you. The whole purpose is not to speak in tongues, lengthen legs, and sing happier songs. The whole point of the charisma, the whole point of those gifts that were given, is so that you will die to yourself and live by the power of God. That's why the Holy Spirit was given, to give you power. Power to do what? To die. The power to die, because you now have God's power at work in you to kill you. And after you're dead, you resurrect in chair 6, or chair 5, 6. 6 cannot happen without 5. There's never been a resurrection without dying. You can't resurrect from the dead until you're dead. So there's no birth except to die. So birth leads to death, leads to resurrection. If you don't do the first, you can't get the second. If you do the second, then you can do the third, without which you can't. So these three are all part of the same process: Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. The greatest, Bridegroom. The greatest is Bridegroom. He's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Only he can do that. You cannot help him. You cannot cooperate. You can't even understand what that's talking about. You just have to hear it. And faith cometh by hearing, not by thinking, not by understanding, not by fasting, not by praying, not by coming to church. It doesn't come by some action, activity. Everything is passive. Passive means God has to keep his promise. You can't keep his law. That's all. That's all it's saying. It's just saying man at his best state, nothing. It's just simply saying that when men pretend like they're self-righteous, like they're righteous out of themselves, that they're not. So they don't have the true knowledge. The true knowledge is we're all chair one. Everybody's chair one. Even chair two is just chair one with a mask on. It's just someone lying to themselves. It's just someone deceiving others by pretending like they're better than others. How many know that women are better than men? That is an illusion. And so Mother's Day is no different than Father's Day and Children's Day and whatever day. Women are not better than men, but women tend to take the burden of trying more than the husband. How many know husbands are pretty much not triers? I mean, they look at a horseshoe right away and say, that's a horseshoe. But, you know, it's like, well, you know, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I am one, so I'm not going. So men tend to justify not attending. Can you blame them? Because they don't want to be hypocrites. Isn't that wonderful? Well, at least I'm not a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. That's amazing. I don't want to go there because they're all hypocrites. Yeah, well, what else do you have? Where is it going to go? So this is a church full of hypocrites. I just love it. But you're also just liars who are actually wicked people, sinful, nasty, no good. Chad, you understand what I'm saying. Chad, you are a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Amen. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's fun because we're brothers.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm as bad as Chad. I may even be better. Because he may actually have some goodness in him. I don't have any. But I have Christ. All you need is Christ. You don't need goodness. You don't need any natural or cultural goodness. You're taught when you're a little kid, you know, if you behave, you'll have a happy marriage someday. You'll get a good job and so on and so forth. If you misbehave, then you're out. You're going to hell and that's it. Get out. I don't believe that. Amen. I believe everybody is equally the same as everybody else. Yeah. I believe all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't care how it looks to man, with right judgment, not appearance, with right judgment, we're all the same. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no difference. I may do it one way and you do it another way, but it's the same whether you have the mask or you don't have the mask. Whether you're raw about it, naked before God, or whether you're clothed. You know, he checked over this was the first industry of the world, is to make some clothing to cover his nakedness. And you remember Eve sewed that thing up. I'm sure Adam didn't do it. He probably supervised, you know. Yes, that looks good. It's good. Hey, don't forget this part here. And so Adam, he didn't do a lick of work. I mean, you know, women are much better at getting things done. I mean, if I built a church out of women, we would have everything. We would solve every problem there was. But if you work with men, and I try to work with men, they're very hard to kill. It's just very hard to kill. Where is your wife, by the way, right? You know, because she knows what I'm talking about. She's always encouraging me. Make sure you kill Oboe. He is not getting the message. He's hearing it, but he's not doing it. So David's more cooperative. Praise God, David. You're one of our most cooperative and better persons. Louise, I don't think she's ever once complained about you. But Doris, oh my gosh. She says, please get him, kill him, destroy him. Because he has a lot of flesh still controlling him, right? Am I right? Yeah, he admits it. So he's a chair one. He admits it. Now, but the point is that she that hath been forgiven much loveth much, male or female. When you're forgiven a lot, chair four, you tend then to become a lover. Because as God has loved you, you tend then to be forgiving to others who are equally wicked. You tend not to judge, because if with the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Right? So we can't judge one another. None of us is better than anyone else. Isn't that sad? It is. It is sad, because all of our efforts in chair two is not Christianity. Well, I know I didn't do what you said, God, but at least I tried. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's imperfect still. So everything in chair one is imperfect. And that's imperfect because it's irrational. It's not natural. It's not reasonable. It's not what God wrote on your heart. You failed. Chair two, though, is not success. That I didn't steal any hubcaps. He did. Okay. But chair two is the same exactly. Though you didn't steal them, you did something else. You ate too much. You were proud. You were envious. Whatever. There's no way to escape sin. No possibility. Everybody in the world is going to have fear. Everybody. Never been a person that didn't have fear. Never. There's never a person without envy of somebody else. There's never a person without lust. There's never a person without bitterness. There's never a person without self-doubt. There's never a person without self-pity. There's never been a person that could escape all those sins daily, constantly, continually. Even Christians. Even Christians have all those sins every day. And you might work on one. That's good. It's good to do one. But the next day it'll be back. There's no way you can do it. You know, Lord, just remove impatience from me now. It's impossible. Hurry. And so you didn't get rid of impatience and so on and so forth. So there's no sin that you can escape. You cannot erase it. You can't get rid of it. It's permanent. It's indelible. So you can't get rid of it. There's only one way. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. That payment right there is your work. That is your work. In other words, though you didn't do it, he did it for you, and you believed that he did it for you, and it was done forever. That's powerful. That's powerful. If anyone believes that, it's a miracle. Because there's no way you can believe it. Because the only way we can check on anything is look at the fruit. We can only look at the fruit. But the fruit doesn't tell you what the tree is. The fruit does not tell you. So you know that they misbehaved or behaved, but you don't know whether it was Jesus that did it or whether you did it or the devil did it. You don't really know. So you cannot figure out anything. That's why you can't know good or evil. That's why that's the only tree he said, don't. There was never a tree in the garden where he said, do. You'll never find any tree in the Bible where God would force anybody to do what was good. It's voluntary. Calvin was wrong. You aren't predestined if what you mean by predestined is predetermined to go a certain way. No, it's your choice that makes you guilty. If I'm not, if I'm just made that way by God, then there's nothing I can do about it. So I might as well just sin all over the place. And that's what people do when they're taught that kind of thing. They're taught, you know, once saved, always saved, or, you know, you were chosen to be a bad seed, or you were chosen to be a good seed. That's not true. You do choose, but what you choose better be Jesus, not me behaving. Because you cannot behave. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, trying your best won't do anything for God, so he provided a better way, a way where he would do perfect, not just best. He would do perfect. He died for you. That's the end of all sin. Now, if you don't believe in him, you got all your sins still. So if you do believe in him, it's gone. And then number two is to prove that by going through the fire, the test, the instruction, the teaching, the chastening of the Lord, the rod and the staff. There he can now beat out of you all your flesh without your even knowing it, because all you do is beholding him, we are changed. The more I look at his love, I'm changed. I'm not looking at my sin saying, well, get this one out, get this one away. You can't do it. You can't help out. He just simply, the more you look at his love in chair four, the more chair five happens. It just happens that way. You don't have to work at it. It's not a labor. It's not a work. It's not even an understanding, except this. I can't. He can. And we will by faith. We will. Because I know he's doing it in me and through me and by me and everything. I know somehow I'm linked up with the God of the universe. For God was in Christ reconciling the world. God did not need the reconciliation. We did. But he reconciled. You're passive. He actively reconciled the world to himself by killing his own son, his beloved son, his only son. Now, by doing that, you're free. That is freedom. 4, 5, and 6 is freedom. It's freedom for the new heart. You didn't have one before. Now you have a new soul. You didn't have one before. And now you have a new body. And that's a process, and it takes time. How many know that you are not an instant saint when you become a believer? You are spiritually in your heart, but you are not yet spiritually in your soul. And you are not yet spiritually in your life. It's always going to lag. There's always a lag. There's a time thing, not in heaven, on earth. In heaven, God already knows. I didn't say he predestined you. I just said he knows. Predestination actually just means this. What it means is he knew what you were going to do or not do, but he went ahead and created you anyway. So it just means that was your destiny. He gave you the destiny like everybody else. Same destiny. Behave. Don't do bad. What he didn't tell you, the knowledge you didn't have by eating of the tree, the knowledge you didn't have is the only way it comes is through Jesus Christ. You just didn't know that. That the true and living God only has one son. There can't be 2 or 3 or 7 or 50. But every other religion allows those kind of options except for Judaism and the Muslim religion. All other religions have multiple gods and multiple ways and all kinds of gradations and grays and so on. Ours is very simple. There's only one God, and his son is Jesus Christ. It's not Muhammad. It's not someone else. So that prophecy is a false prophecy that Muhammad could be your mediator. He can't. And I'll tell you something else. Even Muslims know that. They know that Jesus is a better person than Muhammad. They know that Muhammad did a lot of bad things. It's not hidden in the Quran. There's more Jesus in the Quran than there is Muhammad. I don't know if you are aware of that. Jesus over and over again, Mary over and over again mentioned in there. They didn't deny that. They just can't imagine you don't have to behave. They're still under a law. They're under the, not the Jewish law. They're under their own. They made it up so it's a little better than the Jewish law. In the Jewish law, you have to give 10%. They only have to give 2%. I think that's a better, that's an improvement, I would say. That's a pretty good deal. I save 8%. I don't know why. That's bad. And number two, you only have to kneel down 5 times a day. That's better than 7 times in the night. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot of improvements that they made it simplified for someone living in tents in the desert. Works really good. So theirs is much easier theology and much, you know, simpler that the natural man can get a hold of is, hey, become a Muslim. A lot of people want to become Muslims because it's easy. Men are better than women. I mean, that's easy. I don't know why men tend to go for that thing. But the women are the ones that defend it. Because those women see something there that they have a certain value. And they have like, they don't have 2 kids, 3 kids, 5 kids. They have 10, 15, and so on. That's how they take over. You don't have to do this because you just behave yourself. Just do what you're told. And so there you have no rights. Nobody defends anybody's rights. You don't have rights. This is just Allah is pleased when you do what he says. All right. I'm not knocking that religion at all. I'm just simply saying it's not true. Because there's no happiness here. Not lasting, true happiness. Why? Because they don't believe God wants you to be happy. He wants you to obey, to submit, to just simply get under, get subject to, make the offering, make the sacrifice, make the atonement. No, it's already been done in Jesus Christ. So Catholics are wrong. Jews are wrong. Protestants are wrong. Anybody who doesn't have this simple truth that righteousness is a gift. Totally passive. You don't do anything to get it. And it has 3 parts. 4, 5, 6. Spirit, soul, body. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. On and on and on. Always 3, always 3. And that's all it is you do nothing, he does everything. Now, have I ever reached anybody with this truth? Intellectually, a few. Actually, probably very, very rare and few. Why? It's impossible to get a hold of because of your old thinking. This old thinking is still there. You're still eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to behave when God has already behaved. And his behavior is better, best, perfect. So you cannot add or subtract from what Jesus Christ has done. He loves you with a perfect love, always has, always will. But not only that, he loves Manson. He loves Hitler. He loves everybody. He loves everybody that hated him and despised him. It doesn't bother God. Chair one, he loves. He loves everybody sitting in chair one with the same love that he loved us. It's just that we came to faith to believe that Jesus did it all. And there's nothing more to be done except this. This is all you can do. Thank you for doing everything. So, if he did everything, I can't say my thank you is even part of doing anything. Because it isn't. I'm just thanking him for doing everything. And then I praise him for doing everything. And then I worship and adore and love him. And I want, because I know he's going to marry me. And I believe that. I believe that he is the one that's perfecting the bride. He is the one that's perfecting us. So we have no expectations now of people. We have no expectations. How many know people will let you down? You will let yourself down, worst of all. If somebody criticizes another person, after they're finished, they will go and criticize themselves for criticizing the other person, even if intellectually they don't know that they're doing it. They despise themselves because anyone who keeps a law despises themselves. Why? Because nobody's perfect. You weren't born that way naturally. You are reborn that way to be perfect. Why? Because you're linked up with Jesus Christ who wants to not only marry you, but he wants to remove all the spots and wrinkles and blemishes and stain so that it no longer in this world, don't make this in the next world. He wants in this world for men to see your good works. But they won't glorify you because they know you didn't produce those good works. The relationships that you have with this loving Father, this relationship that we have, is so powerful. Especially on Mother's Day, to think about this, that God provided women and didn't confuse the two. And he made them male and female. It's very clear. And that's why other religions want to destroy that if they can. I'll tell you what, it'll never happen. You can have all the transvestites and all of the, you know, gays and lesbians and so on in the world. It won't make any difference. It'll still never go away. God always defends what he makes. What he's joined together is joined. And what he separates is separated. So don't be amazed at the world. Only you just do 4, 5, and 6. Don't worry about everybody else, what they do. Don't be judging the rest of the world. That's just an opportunity for a miracle, and you're part of the miracle over here. If you can get a hold of this, then anybody could get a hold of it. I believe the harvest is ripe, and the laborers are few. So my task, which I've failed at, and I don't make any bones about that, my task is to get the good news to you that this is good news, that all righteousness, all being right with God, all relationship to God is a free gift. It's something God does, not you does. You don't even have to have perfect understanding. All you have to do is hear what's said. And you if you think you understand it perfectly, the next day you'll realize you don't. Because it's not going to work the way you think it's going to work. Leave it up to him. He's the adult. You're the child. You will always be God's child and a loving child. And then when you grow up, you'll be his wife. You'll be God's wife. He always promised Israel, true Israel, of which we're a part, by the way. He always promised Israel, you're going to be my wife. Well, you say he divorced her. No, he didn't. What he did, he calls it divorce. What he means is, I was betrothed to her, but she took off. She violated my law, the law of the husband, the law of betrothal. She then went away, and I just acknowledged it. And Jesus then said, you're cursed now. Not I curse you. You are cursed right now because you just did something irrational, insane, not knowledge true. You didn't have true knowledge. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Ebaskenai, or ebaskene, what it means is you are not in your right mind. You're not thinking right. Repent means think right. What? That God is love, that God is forgiving, that God is all powerful, that God through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, baptizing you, filling you. That's how you get rid of your old man. But you don't do it. He does it. And all you do is say, thank you. Thank you. I praise you. Do it. Don't help God. Don't try to get I'm trying to understand this tricky message. Don't try to understand it. You just read the Bible. You don't need me. I'm just simply telling you the Bible is better news than people say it is because there's nothing that we do. So I have no expectation on Peggy. I don't expect her to do anything. I don't have any pressure on her. I have no law over her. Why? Because God didn't have any on me. He accepted me as I was without one plea. Right? And when he does that, then I realize, wow, that is foolish of God, but I'm taking it. I'm taking that. I want that free gift for being a failure. Because I know in my own eyes, I have never, ever, 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 ever thought that I was good. I knew I pretended. And I always knew I pretended. I always knew I was always selfish. It's amazing to me that people can actually imagine, and I know most people do, that they're good. Well, thank God I did that. I didn't sin that time. I don't think like that. I sin all the time. I'm always thinking only of me apart from him. But because I'm not apart from him, I'm always thinking I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. That is the only salvation we have right there. Passive righteousness. The church does not teach this or live this because it hasn't yet caught on that this is what the good news is. It's not you behaving. It's God behaving. Everything is God. Everything is one-sided. It's a unilateral offering, a unilateral covenant that God made with the Jewish people, with all mankind, and particularly with us. But we should be the light. We should be the salt. We should be the salt of the earth, and we should be the light of the world. When men hear us and see us, they should be convicted at once. I believe there was a young man here last night at the wedding who was convicted, and it was powerful. And I believe his life will not be the same. And I'm really excited about that. For me, the whole, everything that was happening was for that young man. And there also was a young lady that came who used to be part of this church when she was young and small. And she came and showed up. It was just so powerful for me to see someone coming from the long ago past, and they've been confused. They've, you know, I'm partly to blame for all that, quite a bit, as a matter of fact, more than anybody else. But I thank God that God's merciful. Even so, you can be a failure, but not in God's sight. Yes, you failed, but all he wants is for you not to, and he provided the way. He just wants you to take it. He can't imagine anyone wouldn't want to take this good news. But the whole world would rather have law than they would gospel. They would rather have bad news than good news because people hate themselves. They really do. Because they know, I didn't do what God said. He wrote it on my heart and I didn't do it. And you can't escape it. You can't say, well, you know what? I'm very successful in this world. Like Trump talks sometimes, you know. Everything I do, I know exactly how to do that. Yes, I'll finish that off. I love that because it's so stupid. But I love it because he has total confidence that he can make this deal. You know, and I love that. It's fine. I mean, I don't mind that he's president. But the point is, I have no hope in the guy. I mean, I hope nobody has any hope in the guy. Like, yeah, he'll really do what he said. You know, it's just, you know, forget that. Stop looking around at surface. Look at the deep things. That God has written something in the Bible. You don't need me. If I drop dead, it's no loss at all. It's not an event. But read that Bible over and over again. Why? Because all the truth is there. That truth will set you free. Love will not set anyone free. Love attracts people, but it doesn't set them free. This is what sets them free. 4, 5, 6. Start again. 4, 5, 6. Start again. 4, 5, 6. I die daily. Every day. I don't need to be born every day, but I do need to be renewed in my mind every day. The mind renewal, the true knowledge of God, is that he's always been a loving father. He has never been offended or offensive. He's never been an angry judge and never will be. Please, someone, get a hold of this. I don't have the ability, but I can just say it. But if someone gets a hold of this, it's too powerful. In other words, let God be God. Don't help him. Don't pretend like you're cooperating or somehow you get it or whatever. You didn't do anything. He did everything. I know that's a very dependent kind of idea. Best thing ever happened to me was the day he killed me. Yes. The day, and I remember it. It's vivid to me. The day he killed me, not with his power of hatred or punishing me, but with his love. Yes. His love was what killed me. It just completely woke me up to realize I have a God whom I never believed in and never wanted and never sought, that loved me and sought me out when I was worthless, when I was evil, when I was just a liar. But God loved me as I am. Amen? Now, you can't teach this to children because they don't get it. Just tell them whatever. I mean, you just tell them what the Bible says. Read the stories to them. But the truth is, when you become an adult, you realize I need something more than just stories. I need it to come alive to me personally. Yeah. We just left our daughter in Dallas. And it was very powerful to hear that she said, you know, everything you taught me, I knew it was true when I was growing up. But it wasn't personal for me at all. It didn't make me do or not do. I mean, I had a little guilt, and so I did a few things. But the truth is, I then got connected with the living God, and all of a sudden I was set free. And she woke me up at 4 a.m. We were in Uganda. She woke me up and said, Dad, who is it? Because I was asleep, 4 o'clock. And, Dad, what? Because there's a lot of people sleeping in there as well as us. Dad, open the door. Okay. What? Dad, Ezekiel 17:3. You know, I don't know what the scripture was, but some scripture, as though I knew all the scripture. She thought I did. You know, so. Dad, it happened. Jesus spoke to me. Oh, what? It was like, what are you talking about? Because she was kind of worldly kind of heading. And so this was her last kind of religious kind of deal. I think I'll go with Dad one time. You know, he talks about Africa. I think I'll go to Africa and see all these things. But anyway, the living God spoke to her, and she wanted to share that with me. And it was like, it was blowing me away, because I'd been praying, God, something or other. She answered the prayer. It was like, oh, wow, so amazing. From that moment on, she's been a different person. She's free, totally free. I love it. It's so exciting. No longer religious, meaning I have to go to church every Sunday and be the Sunday school teacher and so on. She became free. It's powerful. Why? Because she totally believes she's loved no matter what. Yeah. And that is so exciting. It's so powerful. But nobody can do that. If God doesn't do it, you can't make him do it. You can't do something to help him out to do it. You can't pray or fast. I don't care what you do. You cannot do it. You can't read the Bible 50 times. It won't work. You can't learn Hebrew and Greek. It won't help. Nothing will help except God himself comes to you and says, I love you. And one day you believe it. And it just came, same words that everybody else heard. But you heard it. And it went deep in. Didn't go into your head. It went into your heart. It went deep inside. That's the promise of God. God is a promiser. You are the promisee. God bless you all. Praise God. Redefined it.
Unless God does it, you can't do it.
Right.
I mean, I kind of disagree because I think...
Of course you do.
I kind of see where Calvin right. was coming from because they're both there.
They're not. Predestination is not predetermination.
That's right.
It isn't he determined you and said, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven. That's where Calvin is mistaken.
But if God doesn't do it, it doesn't get done.
Right. But why doesn't he?
But you still have to choose.
No, you don't have. What's your choice? What would you choose? To be chair one, to be chair two? What are you going to do? How would you ever choose Jesus? That promise doesn't come from us, nor can I make him give a promise. I'm going to do something. What is?
If he does it, I guess I'm...
No. Okay, I got what you're saying. No. He predestined us in Jesus Christ, not just predestined us from the foundation of the world. I predestined him. He had foreknowledge, it says. Predestination is totally related to foreknowledge. He knows what everyone's going to choose. So he made Jesus available for men to choose, not for men to be predestined or predetermined. So it's in Christ. In other words, everything is in Christ. It isn't that I've been predetermined, so I won't accept Christ when he comes. That's not that. That's just foreknowledge. Anybody can come to Christ at any moment, any time. That's the good news. Yeah, yeah. Not, oh, I've already been determined by God. No, predestined isn't determination. It's me being free to choose him. And when he does, that's when I'm set free. And I realize I didn't do it. He did it. And it came to me. So I'm not picking on Calvin. I'm just simply saying that kind of teaching has led us astray, has led particularly America is, hey, do your best and it'll all work out.
No, I totally agree.
Good. Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. Great question. Yes?
Mm-hmm. In this process of thinking in my mind about some scripture says, lean not to thy own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
My ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm.
You try to figure God out in our understanding,
right.
You're going to go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's literally true, just what you just said.